When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcasts and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hello once again, everyone. It's Mike Tenay from TNA Wrestling, and welcome to In the Room. Here's Brady, Kathy, The Stro, Jordan, and Derek.
Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what, dog, it's time. Nothing's gonna stand in my way. It's playing in my heart like a long lost friend.
All right, sorry about that, guys. We're having a little bit of a technical issue on our end, or on somebody's end. I'm not sure who it is. But welcome back to In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, right here live on VOCNation.com. We have Strowan and Ray Bogus waiting in the wings. Something is going on where it won't let their video or their audio play. So I'm going to recommend that they try and call back. And we have Ray, so it's just Papa Strowan at this point. Hi, what's going on, Ray? How you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm just living the dream, laughing at some of the things I'm reading about what WWE's reaction to some of the stuff we've seen is, and I'm about to enjoy the official beverage of the show because it is 8 billion degrees out here in the Arizona Valley. I'm going to enjoy a delicious Clearly Canadian along with tonight's program.
You have Clearly Canadian? I haven't had that in forever. I'm sorry, guys. I know we got a lot of people to introduce, but I got to hear this. This is big stuff.
Okay. Go to your local Kroger or... Kroger equivalent. So let me see. Hey, hold on.
Ray, this hasn't been in the area in probably 15 years.
Forever. And then I ended up seeing it when I was back. I was in Indiana for a while over the summer. Amongst other places, as you can see. But I was in Indiana for a while, and I was at a grocery store, and I saw it there.
Yeah.
And then when I got back out west, I started looking for it in other stores, and then I found it. and like I said, I mean, we don't have Kroger out here either. They're just the parent company. So let me.
Kathy Fitz, what's going on, Kathy? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Brady. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We also have Stro Maestro joining us. A couple of tech issues there. What's going on, Stro? How you doing, brother?
Oh, I already had to lock up with Zoom, but
yeah.
I guess we got back in the swing of things. Hey, guys, doing great to be here.
Zoom always goes over in the end, so.
Yeah, Zoom is the booker.
Yeah. I already introduced Ray. And Jim Molino, former ECW referee, all over the independents now. What's going on, Jim?
How are you? Glad to be back again.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming back. We're excited to have you. And I have a real surprise for you guys. Is if this panel wasn't big enough, the reason that Jim is even here is because Matt Grimm was taking some time off. Well, Matt had an open night tonight, so he decided to call in and join us to gloat about AEW. What's going on, Matt? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm having a much better week than WWE is right now.
Not if you believe the reports.
Yeah, I got to hear these reports.
They don't.
I've been away.
If you believe what some of the different sites are saying, apparently this is the direct quote I've seen, and I've seen it a couple places.
Mm-hmm.
Like to the point that I'm willing to give this some credence. That WWE, and this is the exact quote that I've seen everywhere, says that they don't view Danielson or Cole as a threat, or as a not a threat, that they don't view them as a, let me look at the words here, they don't view either Danielson or Cole as a big loss.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I mean, you do you to stay fit. I'm not going to say I'm above that. We've all done that at some point. But you have to be, like, good about it. If Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole aren't big losses, well, then, like, who other than Roman Reigns is? Is that the only big loss?
Let me go a step further. Let's pretend for a minute that those reports are true and they actually do say and think that behind the scenes. Well, then they're basically, and this isn't a perfect analogy, but they're standing on the Titanic and not thinking that hitting the iceberg was a big problem. Because even if you're going to go under the assumption that those two aren't a big loss, it still represents a dynamic shift in the way that all of the talent that is employed by them now views that company and views their alternatives in the workplace with other companies. It doesn't need, they don't, the two of them individually don't need to be seen by WWE as a big loss, because I think they represent a changing mindset among the wrestlers themselves. And that, long-term, is going to cause problems for WWE.
So can I piggyback on that and kind of take your furtherance of mine even a step further? It's not necessarily – I suppose if WWE was sitting there saying that, like, the number of people that might subscribe or not subscribe to Peacock is going to be negligible, or the number of people – that might subscribe or not subscribe to a pay-per-view, or that might tune into Raw, or whatever the case may be. For any one individual, I can buy that the difference is negligible and that is not a big loss. However, and I think you were, if you weren't there and just wording this differently, you were pretty close. It's optics. I don't have to care at all about how
you don't, Ray. You really don't.
I mean, you're right, I don't. But, like, if I'm in charge of a company, or I'm in charge of a peanut gallery to the right hand side of me, I don't have to care how their perception of me is at all. But I do have to care if people that are friends with them, people that have worked with them, I do have to, if everyone else starts to view that something as bad, I have to then reflect on whether or not I have prioritized things properly.
Absolutely.
Optics. Like you don't have – fine, you don't think they're a big loss. But everyone else thinks they are. And while I'm not one to be inclined to say do what the group's doing because the group is good, I am one who is going to say, you know, in this particular instance, a lot of very smart people, and I put the people that host this show amongst that when I say very smart people who are either directly in the industry or at least talk about it, are saying this is big. You need
Sorry.
To
Him
stop
wait.
It.
Him wait.
Freaking clown horn.
You need to think about that in a different way than what you are.
Perception is reality, I think is the phrase that I hear so much in the independent. Perception is reality. If people think it's a big deal, well, I mean, I guess it's a big deal at that point because the people that think that are the ones that matter. We're lucky enough to have two guys who were on television with major companies, Stroh Maestro as well as Jim Molyneux. What do you guys think? This switchover, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson we knew about, Adam Cole we didn't. Is this as big as the NWO 25 years ago? Stroh, what do you think?
For this day and time and the current modern industry, yes, it is a big deal, but to dare I say be as big as the NWO was. I mean, you got to consider Hulk Hogan, even before he was NWO, he was selling out arenas every night,
right?
Getting the same reaction over and over again. And then, and with the NWO, I mean, here's the thing. With the NWO, they were so huge on the scene, and they continually end up selling out arenas and so forth. So the real test is, can the guys like CM Punk, can the guys like Daniel Bryan, rather, and Adam Coles and all that continually pop houses each and every night like they did?
Yeah.
That'd be the real test.
Sure. Jim, what do you think about it? Pretty big impact?
Yeah, I agree with Stroh. It's going to be very difficult for those guys to pop, you know, to fill the buildings every night because you've gone at least one generation of wrestlers that have not filled buildings every night.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had a wrestler, one big name wrestler like Stroh mentioned Hulk Hogan. The last person that was like that was Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock. And
yeah.
You've skipped a generation of wrestlers, and there hasn't been one since that's been at the top. Brock Lesnar didn't fill the houses. Roman Reigns isn't filling houses. Whoever else they had.
John Cena?
Up there. I don't know.
You can't see him now, but.
If
I could counter that, and just maybe give. And I actually would like to hear both your perspective and Stroh's perspective on this. Is it so much that we skipped a generation where no one could fill seats, or did, and this would be more what I'm inclined to think, did WWE miss an entire generation of wrestlers? Because I think they missed the ball with Bryan Danielson. I think they missed their shot with CM Punk. I think they did have those guys, and they baiting WWE, chose to act in a way that didn't allow those wrestlers to fill arenas.
I can agree with that because I think what's not filling, causing them to fill the arenas is the fact that they have writers. have the comedy show writers, they have
damn
the
writers.
Show writers, they have reality show writers that are writing for guys to read, and the guys are walking around with scripts in their hands trying to learn lines, and believe it or not, they're not actors, they're there to be wrestlers,
right.
And so they are looking at scripts and looking at them and reading them like this all day long, and when they get in front of the camera, they've been going like this in front of the, in front of everyone all day long with no emotion or anything. And I think that I think the storylines and the lack of emotion in the wrestlers from reading scripts has turned people away. You know, maybe the reason is more a change in the business than anything.
I agree.
He said, emotion's the key, man. It's been the best seller since the beginning of time. It always will sell.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be genuine and you got to show emotion.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think that WWE has kind of mutated. Matt, do you think mutated is a fair enough word? I don't think WWE is today what it originally even set out to be 20 years ago. I think that they've morphed into this entertainment company that's just obsessed with generating as much content and selling as many ad dollars as possible. So as a result, like, they're not worried about putting together a wrestling show like they would have during the Attitude Era or even during the Ruthless Aggression Era. It's different. I would argue that the only guy on the roster really that could have fit in the Attitude Era as he currently is Roman Reigns. Maybe Edge.
Well,
there are two guys that are afforded those liberties that most people aren't.
Look, this is something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but I think it plays probably about as much as 90% of the role in the problem that WWE has, where you're absolutely right. It's not the same company that it was 20 years ago. It certainly isn't the same company that it was 25 years ago. WWE is a publicly traded company now. It has been for, 15 years at this point, maybe a little more?
Mm-hmm.
Publicly traded companies are not beholden to their own employees. They're not beholden to their customers. They're beholden to their stockholders. And all the stockholders care about is a return and profit. They're not really – it's like you said, they've mutated from being a wrestling company to an entertainment company. And they're an entertainment company that now the brand itself is supposed to be the star. And historically, if you just look at the way pro wrestling has worked, that's never been true of any other company before, including the WWF pre publicly traded company era. Would you say that Stone Cold Steve Austin was bigger than the WWE when he was on top of the world and setting things on fire? I think you could probably make that case. I think you could make the same case about Hogan in the 80s. The company just isn't structured that way anymore, which actually, in the long run, has hurt them and made it difficult to develop any characters that people care about. And hence,
for sure,
we're in the situation that we're in now.
Sure, sure. 914-338-1885, by the way, is the number to call in tonight. I see we have a couple callers already. Steve, you're up first. Just hang tight. And we'll get to you real shortly. I mean, obviously, WWE is in tailspin, and that's damage control when they talk about, you know, that doesn't really matter losing those guys. I think anytime you lose major stars, it hurts. You know, they just 2 weeks ago they had an announcement that Adam Cole had a meeting with Vince McMahon, and it went great. Again, damage control, apparently.
Yep.
So I'm really curious what all you guys think. And they weren't the only ones to show up in AEW, by the way. Ruby Riott, now Ruby Soho, shows up. And I think, honestly, that might be the most impactful move long-term that they're going to have, other than Punk. And Punk, I think it could kind of go either way. But that women's division, aside from Britt Baker, is really struggling. And when you can add a talent like Ruby, I feel like right away, that's a step up. That's a major step up. I think Adam Cole is going to just be a lackey with those other guys in AEW with the Elite. And I think it's a mistake. I do. At least in WWE, he was going to be his own guy. Jim, I was worried for a long time he was going to be a cruiserweight, but he would have been his own guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with you. Anyone who affiliates with I can say the executive vice presidents as opposed to the Elite. But, you know, you're not going to get any further than them. I said it last week when I was on. Look at the Young Bucks. Who's going to be a better tag team than the Young Bucks as long as they're in charge?
Yeah.
You know, and here's another point I was thinking of. If, you know, you're that that fringe talent with WWE that's thinking of going or leaving, and where are you going to go? AEW, they should have a sign on the front door. No room. They're full up. I mean, they've got talent that aren't even making it on their YouTube shows. That's how much talent they have. So if you're one of those guys who think, you know, I can go with Cole or I can, you know, go with the other guys that have just left, where are you going to go now? And nothing against any of the other companies that are out there, because I love watching the other – I don't want to use – I shouldn't say the word. The other companies that are out there that have have national attention, do you go to one of those and make an impact on a company there? I think it's an option as long as it's financially settled, you know, financially acceptable to you. Why not go to one of the other companies and help build them?
I think there's something to that. I mean, there's a couple of things, Brady. Do you want to jump in first or do you want me to go?
No, you can go. Fine.
Okay. I think there's a couple of things to address here. Number one, as I kind of want to go back to something Brady said, which is that Ruby Riott, now Ruby Soho.
Soho. I love that video, by the way.
Soho.
Ruby Soho.
Just by Rancid.
Yeah.
It's a good band. Good band, Rancid.
Yeah.
So, great band. Brady, I think you're right that Ruby Riott might end up being the biggest fan of them, but I don't think it's necessarily for the same reason. Because that women's division...
Sorry.
Yeah, right. I agree. That women's division is struggling. That women's division is struggling, but it's not for lack of talent. It's for lack of know-how.
Okay. Because they don't know how to be good.
Okay, well, I look at someone like Tay Conti.
Yes, she's very talented.
Yes.
Talented, that is a word I would use to describe her.
At the ass, as they say.
I shouldn't have said that.
I
about her.
Yeah. I'm just fine.
There's not really much of anything in the actual, in like her actual wrestler's toolbox.
Yeah.
And I think you might be right. Ruby Riott might, Ruby Soho might be the kind of the biggest signing to this, but it's because now it doesn't have to be, well, watch Britt. There's someone else that will know how to do these things.
Yeah.
And can make other people better. Because right now, I mean, you're right, like it is struggling because unless you're in a program with Britt Baker, you're not necessarily working with anyone who can make these better. If you're a middling talent, then I have to guess I get to kind of put both of them together. I mean, I think you're right. If you're one of these more middling talents, some of these other promotions are looking really attractive right now. That unless AEW wants to give you a whole bunch of money to not wrestle, what are the odds you're going to get on TV? I think that is definitely something that they need to consider.
And I think that's where, like, Impact comes in, for example. Like, they're just swallowing up a bunch of talent that just would have been so above them just a couple years ago just because they're available and AEW can't take everybody. I know it's weird to say AEW can't take everybody because it feels like they're like Ellis Island lately. Like, they'll just take just about anybody that, you know, the huddled masses, right? So I feel like the company – could go in either direction right now, Matt. I do. I don't want to be a negative Nelly. I feel like they could definitely be real competition for WWE with the talent that they have, and I'm hoping that that's the case because WWE needs to get pushed. They need to get pushed, and the only way they're going to push themselves is if it looks like they're losing and they're going to be embarrassed. You know, NXT they thought was embarrassing. That ain't going to be as embarrassing as when Raw starts losing to them.
And I see that happening maybe in the next year if things keep going the way that they are. I really do. That's one
it
way.
It certainly is trending
the other
that
way.
The
other way, Jim mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious your thought, but the other way, and this is something that definitely struck me, Jim, you kind of mentioned it, AEW is swallowing up so much talent right now, it's more than they can put on TV. So they're soon going to have the same problem as WWE is. They're going to have a bloated roster where they can't use everybody. It's so funny because a year and a half ago, we're talking about New Japan and Impact and Major League Wrestling and AEW and all these different options where wrestlers could go, where you don't necessarily need to go to WWE. It's almost like AEW kind of became that destination, and nobody wants to go to WWE, but nobody wants to go to the independents anymore either. Nobody wants to go to New Japan or MLW or, like I said, to a certain extent, Impact. It's I think it's bad. I think it's bad. I think all that talent that got gobbled up by the big company, Jim, they're going to have to go other places. You can't have it this top-heavy.
Yeah, all those guys that first signed with AEW, all those independent starlings that they signed when they first opened up, who haven't been doing anything, their contracts are going to end soon, I would think.
And not get renewed.
When they do... And not get picked up again, not any fault of their own, but because there's only so much room in the locker room. Where are they going to go? They haven't been able to show what they can do because of all the talent there. So when you're looking at other companies like an NWA or MLW or Impact.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Are they going to take them? If not, they're back to the indies.
WCW went through the same thing. They went to the same thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with going back to the indies. I've recently done it.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Nothing at all. Look, I mean, look what it did for Drew McIntyre or Jinder Mahal or, I mean, any number of guys who over the years, like, you think they got some potential. They leave, they retool themselves, and then they come back stronger than ever. I think AEW is going to really quickly find out what WWE is slowly learning itself, that, like, you don't need to sign everybody under the sun. Because when you do, all you're doing is a disservice to all these different guys and girls. You look at, like you mentioned, all these indie darlings and stuff. Joey Janela. When's the last time Joey Janela's been on TV? Or Sonny Kiss. Like, these are names that they built the company around when they first kind of started, who now are just sitting there doing nothing. And it's a shame. And I don't see WWE scooping them up because they want to develop their own, I'm guessing, bodybuilders again. They're going to go back to 2008. I don't know.
Yeah, and who knows what's going to happen with NXT. I mean, with revamping the people that are in charge, if the rumor's going around, a few years ago, even 6 months ago, you would have said, there's no way the son-in-law is going to get fired. Well, guess what? The son-in-law might be getting fired.
And the logo already looks like graffiti.
And I've seen this happen so many times, Matt. It's like WWE has something hot. They put it on TV. They overexpose it. It struggles a little bit. They retool it and ruin it. I mean, it happened so many times in the past, and it's only going to happen with NXT. My prediction is when they go to renew for Raw on USA, then NXT will not be part of the next deal. That would be my guess. And then where does
that surprise
them? Are they on Peacock?
No, that leaves them. That leaves them 4 hours of Raw instead of three.
Oh God!
Oh boy!
Did you hear? Not Tony Khan.
Bring out the campaign.
Who's the con man? Who's the con man for WWE? Oh, not Nick Khan. Tony.
That's the right word, con man.
Yeah, seriously. He said
it's Nick.
He
Nick
could
Khan.
Picture an
yeah.
8-hour Raw. He could picture an 8-hour Raw.
That was from the point of view of just a board of directors guy who's trying to please the stockholders. That is not a guy who's worried about actually putting on a good show that the fans want to watch, you know, with personalities that they care about. That is just a money man. That's just a money man viewpoint.
Better him than me. Even better him than me. I couldn't do a bad job.
Even in the one night TV taping days, WWE. Or WWE.
Eight hours.
I mean, they didn't do. They weren't doing an 8-hour show.
I think the worst I ever heard was like WCW did like 5, didn't they, Stro? Like a 5-hour thing.
Yeah, yeah. They did an all-nighter one time too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They could bring back the guest hosts and have Jerry Lewis come back, you know, and he could host the Raw all-night marathon, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to knock this. This idea that I'm pretty sure Jerry Lewis is no longer with us.
Well, we'll get him.
Which actually,
damn it.
Which actually, I was going to say, that might make him the best possible host for that.
Well, that way, you bring him back as
Herman.
Yeah.
Herman, yeah.
I still like when the Muppets did it, so.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. 914-338-1885. Let's go to the phones. Let's bring on Steve, and let's see what Steve has to say about this. Obviously, AEW coming off the biggest night in its history since last Friday. What's going on, Steve?
Just becoming the win, because I mean that right here. What I can call him.
I didn't catch it. Say that again.
Okay, then.
You're getting too smart for this show.
Kazai Nina Rare. The Minoru Suzuki team. Sorry, I was excited. Oh. He was my favorite arrival and all out.
That's some of those intelligent humors.
Nah, just his theme song is the banger.
I got you. So what you thinking, Steve? pretty excited about Adam Cole and Daniel Bryanson. And that's what he should go by, Daniel Bryanson. That would have been funny. Because then
Brian
they could
Danielson.
Trademark that.
I'm glad American Dragon is back. He on the media scrum, he wants to kick heads in again. So I'm glad we're going to get a violent Daniel Bryan.
He hasn't said that since the build-up to WrestleMania.
I was watching some SWE earlier trying to do that homework that Jim assigned.
Yeah.
It was just pretty old.
Yeah. I was watching the last episode, too. It was pretty good. It was interesting. I saw that they opened up the last show with two title changes right away. Boom, boom. And I was like, that kind of caught my attention, you know? I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, they're very talented people down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like such a good mix of independent and, like, off of TV talent, you know? I don't think there's many indies like that around here.
I was going to say, if we're kind of going to transition to this topic.
Well, I'm just doing it because Steve is here, yeah.
Well, no, but like I did my homework too, and I think maybe I might need help translating this because I think this might be something where only someone who got into wrestling a little bit later could maybe articulate. So I might need help translating. It didn't. Yes, you knew it was an indie promotion, but it didn't have that sort of this is a depressing indie show feel. You get what I'm, like, going for?
Yeah.
It felt like they knew, like, just basic production and staging things.
It reminded me.
Simple.
Sorry. Yeah, it reminded me of You know what it reminded me of, actually, was Saw Wrestling out of Nashville. Like, it was, like, the same kind of, like, concept. It was, like, you know, to guys that we were familiar with mixing with independent talent, decent production value. They had some people in the crowd. It was just a good show, you know? Like, ECW, they didn't have the best production value, but they were a good show. You know, they were an enjoyable show. Everything made sense. Sometimes I think Vince McMahon could have benefited from having camera guys that did things a little bit differently, you know, like what ECW used to do. Like, it was and what they do, like they were doing a lot of, like, kind of under the rope angles and stuff like that. It's like I don't know, they made it feel different, you know. It didn't just feel like an independent company that I was happening to catch on YouTube. It had a different presentation to it, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but I really enjoyed it.
To me, it had the presentation of a territorial company.
Yes, that's it.
And,
yes.
You know, yes. I think that's what attracted me to it.
Yeah.
Was that if I were to go to a show in any one of their towns, a house show, I would know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with the smaller shows, the local shows, they probably don't bring in those recent releases in the way of talent that you would see on the TV show. It's more of the local guys and the guys they use on a regular basis, which reminds me of an old TWA as opposed to ECW. TWA was like that. We used all the local guys and had storylines going with them. And then four times a year, we would bring in people that, you know, Joel White.
Right.
more than anything. And they were mostly Memphis guys, which is still great because, you know, a lot of the fans didn't see the Memphis guys back in the day because that was even before tape trading, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was an interest to see these guys that we didn't see before. So I think that's maybe that's why I liked it, because I compare it to where I started.
Yeah. That's cool.
I really like that you said that because it reminded, once you said that, and maybe you're right, like it felt like, kind of like if you go back and watch like an old championship wrestling from Florida taping, it felt a little like that.
And
you see that.
These guys do have local TV.
Yeah, I was thinking smaller world class was what I was thinking because they're in Texas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was cool, though. It was definitely cool. And my God, TWA, yeah. I haven't thought about that since the last time Joel came on the show. That was a fun time. That was a fun time, you know. You haven't lived until you heard a Joe Zanoli story about hiding in the shower to get away from Abby. You know?
what about his lesser known... his lesser-known half-brother, Joe Cannoli.
That's a good one.
Where's my hair?
Take the cannoli.
I'm not ready for that. There we go.
Cannoli.
That was loud.
Thank you.
That was loud.
Still was.
I don't know, Steve. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Honestly... If I could put SWE, if I could put that on my Comcast, then I guess I would have wrestling every night of the week. Never mind. I don't want to do that. So I'll just watch it on YouTube once in a while.
Jim, do you work with them behind the scenes? Is that what you were talking about last week?
No, I don't. I'd sit down for a meeting with them if they were interested. But no, it's just something I stumbled across on YouTube during the pandemic, and I was like, wow, it hooked me, and I just started. I went back to the latest episode or the furthest oldest episode that they had, and started watching them in chronological order, and just became a fan.
Is there one SWE guy that stood out to you that could fit in with ECW? I was going to ask you in general from today, but I think specifically SWE, I think, would be a better question.
As far as their regulars, yeah, I would say Moonshine Mantell, Brian Mantell. I really like him. I really, really like him. I can see him going somewhere today with and not even NXT. I mean, I could see him on the WWE roster. I could see him in anyone's roster. This guy fits in. He's old school, but he adapts to modern times with some of the things he does. They ran a great angle with him. I don't know if you watched some of the back episodes, but they ran a great angle with him with one of the other wrestlers that went on for months, and it was just so well done. And at the time, Kevin Sullivan was part of their booking committee, and I could just tell that Kevin's hand was there involved with these two guys. I like Ryan Mantell, very good guy. He's out of Kansas City.
Okay.
What was the match on the recent show that had the bleach bottle? That was an interesting moment. Like, I had never thought of that myself, like using a spray bottle in the match. That was kind of a cool idea.
It's just a variation on using something in somebody's eye, like, you know, Precious having the hairspray.
A blinding
when
angle.
She was with Garvin.
Harrison.
You know, that kind of
the model.
Thing.
Yeah. Rick Martel. Yeah.
The model, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can I sort of just ask Steve a question? Because I would say Steve probably watches more wrestling than anyone who actually hosts this show. And
I think that's safe to say.
I would say that's pretty safe to say.
I just caught up on all my Jersey Shore, though.
And this isn't, like, I'm not going to do like I do with some of the other callers where, like I'm
chase
asking questions and I kind of, where I'm kind of being condescending and putting them down. Like, this is actually a genuine question. Like, I'm assuming you work from home, and if that's true, do you just, like, have wrestling playing 24 hours a day?
I actually don't watch it enough as I wish, to be honest. I know that sounds surprising, but there's a lot of Jeff. There's New Japan and Noah I want to catch up more with, to be honest, because then that way I can start doing my own content. But, there's Japanese wrestling I need to catch up with more. And then I have New Japan and Noah to watch that I need to catch up on. But, like, the California show, I bet was really good. I haven't caught up with it, but I was really happy with AEW All Out. Christmas morning for me with all those debuts, like four debuts and Punk's match and then Suzuki showing up. So, I mean, there is a lot of content to watch.
Do you remember, and I'm not trying to put AEW down, believe me. I hope they succeed because, like I said, it's going to push WWE to do better. But do you remember that brief period when Impact was going to push WWE, when they ran opposite them? They ran opposite them. They had the Outsiders.
Oh.
They had the Nasty Boys. They had Val Venus.
You mean like
they were
mid to late 2000s?
Well, it would be like 2010 or 11, I guess it was. Sean Waltman was there. They just went. There was one episode, I think it was the first night, that they were running against WWE on Monday night, and everyone made such a big deal out of it. We even had a debate on this show about, you know, would they be able to break the 1.0 rating? And I forget if they did. I don't remember offhand. But I said that was a great show. That was a great effort, Steve. And by the way, WWE countered it with Shawn and Bret reuniting, which was like a masterful idea to do that. But I remember saying that the only way Impact is going to be successful is if they debut 8 to 9 wrestlers every week on their show, because that was the only reason to tune in.
I
worry about AEW. You know, how much momentum can they get when they're not surprises jumping in? Because at some point they're going to run out of it, WWE rejects to add. Not rejects. That's not fair. Actually, some of them are very good friends. They're going to run out of WWE departures to add.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean reasons.
So, So if I can, Brady, and I don't want to speak for guys like Stroh and Jim that obviously are more intimately knowledgeable about being actually in the business than me, but I think that what I'm going to say is probably pretty close. It's not the difference between the two. TNA got a whole bunch of momentum up front and then didn't understand how to use that talent to keep people there. Because it became, and I remember that at the time. Mike Dressler and I were doing our own thing then. I remember
that guy.
I do too. I remember that Impact essentially became Nitro, the epilogue. And there was, like, I suppose if you're just looking for a hit of nostalgia, that was fine. But TNA never learned how to get people to make me care about non-WCW guys. Now AEW has done the first part right. They're bringing new people in.
They've done the easy part. Sorry.
Well, no, you're not wrong, though.
Yeah.
The difference is that AEW has at least shown that it is capable of making stars in and of itself. How many times they can do that, to what degree they do that, obviously we could debate that until we are old and dead. But TNA, yes, they have momentum, but they then never applied that momentum. Whereas we can't necessarily make that judgment yet.
You could argue, and I know I'm the TNA apologist in the group. I mean, I'm the only one who said that they're not dead.
They're dead.
I think they could sign Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, very possibly, because I think they would give them that Matt Hardy freedom to create what he wants. And
probably let them. Yeah.
Chris Jericho said he was very close to signing with Impact, so I think they do have money, even though they're not super relevant right now.
But
they have the money.
My thing, where AEW is successful, and this is something that a company hasn't been able to do in a long time, like probably 20 years at least, they've been able to present something compelling to WWE-level talent, enough so that they could stay with WWE or they could hop over. I don't think that was Impact. I think Impact was getting the guys that WWE didn't want anymore, by and large, or didn't have a need for at the moment, Ric Flair and Mick Foley, for example. I think that's where AEW is successful, that they've been able to create an environment where people want to go there versus, like, having to go there. And that's the difference. But I think that's about where their success to this point stops. You know, just because they've created an environment that's attractive for guys to come doesn't mean that it's going to be an environment that's attractive for them to want to stay there. And that's the same problem that Impact had, and that's the same problem that any number of other companies have had over the years, you know. It's really easy to do a show when you got all this steak and sizzle, you know, where you're debuting Brian Danielson and you're debuting Adam Cole as a surprise and Ruby Soho and CM Punk and I assume Bray Wyatt and all these names are coming in all the time. That's the easy part. The hard part is now you've got all these names and they're not just on paper and you've got to make a compelling show out of that every week and not lose fans and not make this bloated roster, not have anybody on this bloated roster feel like they're being looked over.
I'm compelled.
WWE
Malachi Black,
able to do that.
I'm compelled greatly. Malachi Black versus Dustin Rhodes, Suzuki versus Moxley. The weekly Dynamites are having these pay-per-view-worthy matches. I'm definitely looking forward to this week.
See, and I think
up,
Steve has something here. I think Steve has something here where the thing is, I think if you look at, and I would be interested to hear what other people's thoughts kind of on this are. If you look at, if you took the names off it and you just looked at what happens on each show, the reality is that on AEW Dynamite, you have a large number of non-intersecting storylines. Is it necessarily, well, and while it may not necessarily be enough for the size of their roster, it's a significantly better job than we have seen really from anybody in the last, what, 20, 25 years?
I don't know. I don't think it's that special. That's just me. Call me a hater.
I've been taking a break from WWE, to be honest. Like, I barely catch up with NXT or the main shows, to be honest. Like, there's some great talent in all three shows, but it's just, like you said, there is a lot of wrestling out there, and it's like, I'd rather watch the most fun show, and I think that's AEW, and then Dynamite, at least, and then Rampage sometimes, you know, lately, and then I like the UK style, but I haven't been watching it a lot, and really, Walter is, like, the main draw on there, and Ilya, but I do like Finn Balor on SmackDown, but it's just, I feel what Mick Foley was saying
yeah.
about Karrion Kross, like that just really, Karrion Kross, Malakai Black, Bray Wyatt, that just killed me. Like, I just, my interest was just dropping when I saw those releases and Karrion Kross getting changed up because I liked his MMA look and Scarlett being in his entrance. It's just, it's hard to keep my interest and when things just are going to change when you're invested in a certain character.
I think there's definitely something to that. Actually, no, you're fine. Matt Grimm actually sent me a list before we went on the air tonight. I meant to bring it up while he was here. But all these guys have something in common. And I think you're going to see it really quickly. Bo Dallas, Pac, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Malakai Black, Andrade, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross. That's a lot of names. That's a lot of names. Some of them are with WWE, some of them aren't.
I think Nakamura is okay right now, but I wonder how long it'll last because I think he's doing okay with the
My argument
is all of those guys were guys that they built NXT around since they launched the network. And each and every one of those guys got moved up to the main roster and struggled to a certain degree. Some more than others, for sure. But each and every one of those guys has had issues. And I think until you've got the same kind of collective mindset – collective is the wrong word – until you've got the same mindset governing developmental and main roster, I think you're going to have a problem because there's a disconnect there. They're training guys or letting guys do what they've always done, and then the expectation is they're going to be different when they come up, and they're not because this is what they've been doing for NXT. This is what, as far as they know, is what they're expected to do. And then they come up, and the big guy in charge isn't impressed. It's a shame, but it's the truth.
I don't know how true it is, not what you're saying, but the Adam Cole rumor was that he was going to be a manager on SmackDown. That's what I heard from reported.
And I'll tell you what, if I'm Triple H, I know he only signed a 3-year deal. If I'm Triple H, I'm on the phone with him constantly for the next 3 years. And in 3 years, if Hunter is somehow booking the main roster, which I'm really hoping is going to be the case at some point, I come back and I make Adam Cole my Shawn Michaels. I would make him my guy because I think he's that good.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they signed people back or they get someone like an MJF, or they get a star.
Eventually. Eventually, you're going to get the guys that start jumping back and forth based on the best offer.
Yeah,
especially
just trying to be realistic.
If AEW pulls themselves about to where WWE is, where you're making the same kind of money, which it seems like they're about there, yeah, like I think it, you'll eventually get a bunch of, like, Jeff Jarrett or Dustin Rhodes who, like, you know, like during the Attitude Era, you know, who are willing to just jump back and forth based on whoever has the best offer. I think it's going to happen. I do.
I think
unless
I think
WWE implodes before then.
I think it just depends if they want outside money, like Twitch, or if they want to work New Japan, because that's kind of what Adam Cole and Dan Bryan, I think, were really relying on. It's just getting the work outside, and also Adam Cole getting that Twitch. And then it's really interesting how Brody Lee has influenced these recent signings with Punk and Bryan. It's like a cosmic reaction, I guess. His passing, the way they kept it secret.
I can't think of her name. It's so bad. Rosita. She's on SmackDown now. You know what I mean? The real short girl.
Interesting.
She dated Austin Aries.
Oh,
Andrade's manager. Selena Vega. Twitch guy. Does she still have her channel?
She has it still as Thea Trinidad, but Aleister Black, or Malachi Black, is using it.
Okay, so she essentially abandoned her channel to go back.
Yeah, it's just her husband.
I was wondering about that, because I was wondering if WWE was kind of bending on that.
I'm actually in his Discord, in the Thea Trinidad Discord, and his Black Mask brand Discord, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Lots of chew over there. So 914-338-1885. Let's take a commercial break. And on the other side, we're going to kind of regroup, maybe change direction, look at some other stuff as well. But we will be right back. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. And as soon as I find the commercial, we will be.
This is the Switch to the Doctor of Sound, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Wrestling.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Dylan, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Press discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs, here you get ready to get nasty. Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, right here live on VOCNation.com. Brady Hicks, and I've got with me Stro, I've got Jim Molyneux, and I've got Ray Bogus as well. And we're having some fun tonight, for sure. 914-338-1885, we're talking about AEW and WWE and all this different stuff. I got a fun topic I'm going to introduce in a short bit. But before we kind of really jump back in, Stro, what do you got going on this week, man?
Oh, goodness. Well, Thursday night, WWE Retro right here on VSNation.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be discussing some of our favorite promos to the some favorite wrestling promos. So,
okay,
you got a favorite wrestling promo you'd like to share? Call in. And Friday night, the Stro Zone returns at midnight Eastern Standard Time, and it'll be a double feature. First feature will be Terror in the Midnight Sun, and the second feature will be A Night of Magic. So please tune in.
All right.
Stro, if Thursday is the only night that I don't automatically have something going on and I'm in the middle of a move, so whether or not I can get on, can I send you one?
Sure.
Because I have one in mind that I really would almost like every other wrestler to sit down and watch. Okay, can I? All right.
Just say it. I'm going to say mine.
Okay, so there's this old Crusher promo.
Oh, cool.
He's cutting a promo on Bruno Sammartino.
Boomer Sammartino, that'd be a cool guy.
And Boomer Sammartino, which is Boomer Sammartino is just a guy who still waves a Trump flag all over. That's Boomer Sammartino.
And he complains constantly.
Oh, about everything. No, he's cutting a promo on Bruno Sammartino, and he's got this donkey pinata. And he starts talking about, how he's here with his buddy Bruno, because he saw it in the shop, and, the face looks like Bruno, and the ears look like Bruno. It's just fabulous. It's just really fabulous, and it's so natural.
Oh, I'd love to check it out.
So once we go off air, I'll get a way to contact you.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool. I was gonna say from my end, I've got two that I absolutely loved, and both of which I'm sure anybody who's watched kind of mainstream wrestling. The first was Ric Flair when he won the Royal Rumble, the tear in his eye promo. My God, magical,
yeah.
Magical.
Awesome.
If you didn't like
awesome.
Him before that match, that promo, I think, won you over in almost all mm-hmm. cases. The other one, and he was so good at Jim, I'm sure you were there firsthand, Mick Foley, especially like the one where he was like talking about all the sacrifices he made and he kept trying to like put the pen behind his ear and it kept falling. It was like, look, because I'm hardcore. It was just great. It was he was so good. He was such a good promo back in the day. It amazed me that Vince McMahon didn't want him sooner just for that.
Yeah, there was the one night at the arena where I forget who he was going to wrestle, but he refused to wrestle in front of the Philadelphia crowd because they wanted a hardcore match, and he wasn't being hardcore. And so he said, I'm going to go home, or I'm going to go back to my hotel room, and I'm going to put on TBS and watch a movie that for movies that men like to watch. he left the ring. And I had to call him back into the ring.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he was, like, doing, like, the headlocks and the drop toe holds and stuff just to make people mad.
Right.
If I remember that correctly, yeah.
Yep.
That was great.
Absolutely.
That was great. Jim, did you have anything coming up you wanted to plug?
Not for the next couple of weeks. ECWA, of course, you'll be there.
18th, yep.
That's the next thing I have coming up.
Okay.
So, looking forward to that. Looks like
it'll be fun.
Some good matches lined up for that.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were done.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so next week I believe will be the go-home for the ECWA show. I'm going to try and get one or two ECWA people to kind of pop on so we can talk about the 54th anniversary show, which it's been going about as long as the Super Bowl. It's crazy if you think about it. ECWA, go ahead, Ray.
Well, I was going to say, and if ECWA really should give Jim his own segment, and I'm thinking kind of like Gene Okerlund at the Detroit Zoo, where he eventually interviews George the Animal Steele, and we call it Jim's Junction, and he just kind of talks about whatever's sort of on his mind, and then asks people questions, and if they're not willing to give that to him. If they're not willing to give that to him, then we certainly should.
Does it get a little a little engineer hat, you know, Jim's Junction?
Yes.
It's better than like Jim's Jungle.
Like the conjunction junction guy.
Exactly, yeah.
What's your function?
It's better than Jim's Jungle, you know. I just picture him like Lord Alfred Hayes running around with like the explorer
the
hat, you know. Yeah. Good stuff. So, Ray, you were saying, and again, I'm old, so you got to forgive me, but what were you saying that we should continue the discussion on the air? Because I don't remember a lick.
Oh, we were
I spent all that time killing time hoping I'd remember. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's fine, because you, just like an Alzheimer's patient, you asked me to say something and then just kind of kept talking.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what I
expect my thing.
On the show at this point.
Yeah.
Like you did just there. So.
Yes.
We were talking off air.
So anyway, no, I'm not getting good. Sorry.
Okay. So we were talking off air.
He's giving me the teacher look.
We were talking off air. I had to get that look a lot the last couple of days. I don't want to get that look anymore. We were talking off air about CM Punk's match with Darby Allin. And the discussion was initially, it was you and Jim talking about how you guys thought, and I would kind of maybe want to start the segment with your thoughts, that you guys thought that CM Punk should have wrestled a heel first, that someone should have slid in and said, whoa, 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 you can't just go straight to the top.
Yes, I brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of a face versus face. I want to see the sheriff going after the outlaw. I don't want to see the sheriff fighting the U.S. Marshal. I'm old school that way, and I just felt, you know, it's a good way to bring him in. And not necessarily starting with, you know, the very bottom heel that there is, you know, start their mid-card heels, whoever you think it might be, and go from there with build-up. And, you know, even, you know, they're so full of factions. Why doesn't a faction, why didn't a faction come down and jump on them? And he could go through each one of them, building to their top guy in their faction.
Yeah.
Something like that, I think, could have happened. And bring Darby Allin in as, you know, as a partner or, you know, a friend. I hate to say to create more factions because there's too many there. As there is, there should only be like three or four. There's probably like six or eight.
Mm-hmm.
Just a way to find things for people to do. Yeah, just you know, yeah. So you can have every show can be a six man match.
Ooh,
every match can be a six man match. They've got so many people there.
So if I can be just play devil's advocate for a second, because the truth be told, I normally am right there with you. Saying no, I need you to give me a definitive light and a definitive dark. I think, again, just kind of trying to play contrarian here because I do see this.
I've been called contrarian.
You have in fact been contrarian on this very show, like this episode today.
Yeah,
you were. You
like literally
today
like
years old.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah, like you were today years old the last time you were contrarian. So if I can do that for a second.
That was supposed to be the horn. I'm sorry. That was supposed to be the horn.
God, you're just the way that you are.
Insufferable.
Insufferable. So this probably was the best way.
I'm done. I'm done.
Please move your desk and chair into the hallway.
Mr. Hicks, I'm going to take your desk. I'm going to drag it all the way out of the building and right down to administration. Don't think I won't. Let them deal with you. So here's the thing. I think that this might have been the best way to bring CM Punk in. And here's kind of follow my logic on this. Before you immediately tell me, no, Ray, you are brain damaged and wrong, before you do that, follow my logic on this. CM Punk had to win his first match. Otherwise, everything else going forward would seem kind of silly. Number two, Darby Allin was the best positioned person to take a loss to CM Punk but not suffer any damage because of it. Like, do you think Darby Allin is any less of a contender now?
I think he's more of a contender.
Okay, so in that... With that in mind, I'm not necessarily sure that most, if any, of the other roster was positioned to do that. Like when you say some of these lower or middling heel guys, then you don't have to give me one, but just think of one in your head and think about whether or not they necessarily could have taken the loss as well as Darby Allin did. And I think I'm not saying you couldn't make a compelling case, but I think you would be a lot harder pressed.
Okay, here was what I would have wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would have had Punk come in, establish that he's friends with Darby Allin, not necessarily have Darby Allin be involved with his match. Have the heel I was thinking of, and I'm sorry, I forget which one was hurt and which one wasn't, but FTR, one of the guys, was out with an injury.
Yeah.
I would have had the one who was healthy say, hey, who do you think you are coming in here? We just came in here, and we went to the top because we're superstars, you know, and set up a challenge. I think they would have had a really nice singles match, and it would have been a way to... One, bring in the returning FTR member, have him interfere at the end, maybe not even during the match, but after the match, come in and jump on Punk And there you have Darby Allin come in and side with Punk. And you, there's your next Wednesday night match, or your Friday night match.
Yeah.
Between the returning FTR and with Darby Allin and CM Punk as a tag team.
Okay. I can get behind that. I guess all I'm trying to do is say, like I don't.
And first of all, let me say, I don't disagree with what you said, with both of your points.
Right, and I actually don't disagree with what you said. I guess I just like saying, like I don't. If my complaint about the CM Punk debut, and that goes from when he first came out in Chicago until he got the victory Sunday night, if my complaint is, well, he didn't face a heel, then I don't have a complaint. I guess it's kind of my point.
I think more of my complaint is I wanted to see a wrestling match, not a gymnastics exhibition.
But you're going to see that anytime you want to get a Darby Allin match.
I know.
That's why I don't like it.
I think
I wanted to see CM Punk have a fight.
I think I agree with you, Jim. I do. I think that there's something to be said with, say, like, give people the excitement in doses, like, to kind of jump to, like, he's here, blah, blah, blah. They did, he's here, here's his big promo, and here's the first dream match, all in the course of about 10 minutes. And they could have, like, they could have gotten a lot more out of it, I think, if they kind of drug out those moments to build toward that. And like you said, having him feud with the guy from FDR, would be tremendous. A great way to do that because, you know, they would have a great match. And in the end, Punk could take that and go to the next level and kind of go from there. I do think there's an element in AEW of, like, we got to give them as many dream matches as possible as quickly as possible. I don't know if the thought is, like, Punk's not going to be around forever or what the deal is there. Maybe he's only signed for so many matches. I really don't know. But it's an interesting concept. I definitely would have drug it out more. Or at the very least, like I said, I would have Darby Allin turn bad. If you're going to force that match as the first pay-per-view match, I would have probably turned Darby Allin.
Yeah, I don't think I would because you've got too many people behind Darby Allin that mm-hmm. really like him and see him as this skateboarding hero or, you know, this stunt hero who does these crazy things, not just on skateboards. And I don't think he would be accepted as a heel. No matter how hard you try to change him, I don't mm-hmm. think he would be.
Okay, even against CM Punk?
He's their John Cena, not to the status of John Cena,
yeah.
but the concept of John Cena. There's no way you can turn John Cena heel, and because he's the top selling, you know, merchandise guy with the company. Where
okay.
Darby Allin is, if he's not, or if he before CM Punk, he was probably one of the top selling merchandise guys.
Yeah, I looked at it like Darby Allin is Jeff Hardy before he got the world title. That's mm-hmm. the kind of momentum that he has. That's how I see it.
God, that's so accurate. Not just because I think the momentum is right, but I mean, if you see like the Office meme, or you know, corporate needs you to tell the difference between these two pictures, it's the same picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really, they're the same guy.
Yeah,
it's just that one does less math.
By the way, I did put myself in detention if you look at the screen, Ray.
Ooh, who's the cutie on the inside right?
That's me, actually. Oh, no, I'm in the center. Sorry.
In the pink shirt. Jeez. Brady, you're looking masculine yourself, but
that's not
what I would be interested in.
No. 914-338-1885. So there's certainly a lot of still discussion, I think, to go there. And it's probably something we're going to be talking about for a long time to come. AEW's pay-per-view is this Sunday. It was last weekend. My bad. I'm a week behind here. So there's a lot. There's certainly a lot of discussion that's going to come. God, Ray, I think I do have Alzheimer's. My God. I'm losing it. I didn't see the pay-per-view yet, so I will.
Sundowner syndrome.
Yeah. Anyway, did you guys hear about this Undertaker thing with the Netflix?
No.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. This was like right away. I was like, I was going to do it for like the thing at the end of the night, the quick hits. But I was like, this is too good for this. I gotta. So the Undertaker has signed on with Netflix. He and the New Day are going to be part of, you know how they have those interactive kind of features on Netflix where you get to choose your own adventure. You get this. So it's called Escape the Undertaker. In this interactive film featuring WWE superstars, the Undertaker has set a trap for the decorated tag team, the New Day, at his mansion. What they don't know, the Undertaker's mansion is an extreme haunted house. Packed to the brim with supernatural challenges, it's up to the viewers to decide the fate of three poor souls trying to survive the wrath of the Undertaker.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
Is the sort of endgame villain in this that one of the New Day members has to get a clean pin on Michelle McCool, something that I'm pretty sure nobody else has ever managed to pull off?
I don't know. I just think it's a cool concept. Yeah, I was just glossing over that. I think it's a cool concept, and I think, you know, especially if they're targeting kids, I think it's a neat idea. It's something that I think.
Well, that's good because I hope they are targeting kids, because all I can think of is like a naked Midian chasing you through a house.
It's a shame Paul Bearer is not around, because he would have been great for that.
Yes, he would have.
Yeah. But it's cool. I'm glad to see it. And, you know, if it gets him away from the stupid biker Undertaker that I never appreciated, then I'm all for it. So.
Here's what I actually would like. You want to talk about a great sort of next step in the story of the Undertaker, now that he is kind of off living his life. I would like to see him actually come back, but now he's Paul Bearer, and some new person is a new Undertaker. I think that would probably be.
It could have been Aleister Black if they played their cards right.
Yeah.
Well, hell, right. It could have been Aleister Black if anyone had reminded Vince that Aleister Black was on the roster. Someone goes over to the body, pokes him. Vince, he wakes up. Oh, it's kind of a hut. Just like all of a sudden startled. Whoa.
What do you want, pal?
Vince, we've got this guy named Aleister Black. Oh, we better release him.
Never heard of him.
Let me know if he can find that Meltzer for me. Goes back to sleep.
I don't think they're going to Vince to say who's around and who could be released.
We're going to end up doing a segment on this show one day where we talk about Vince wandering down to the WWE kennel and just getting lost. Because that's got to be what's happening at this point.
He's lost in the warehouse.
I'm picturing, like, you remember the movie Parasite? Did you ever see Parasite?
No.
So, and I won't give it away, but it's about, like, this rich family. And there's all these, like, people that kind of, like, mooch off them that they don't even know it, that live like in their basement, and like they basically like come up and steal food during the, you know, when they're at work or whatever. So basically there's a bunch of parasites that live off of them that they have no idea.
Wait a second, I read about this.
Yes. Okay. So I think it would be great if Vince went down to the kennel and he found like JTG in the corner somewhere, you know, or I don't know. I guess he's not there anymore. I don't know who would be the Tim, we did this gag for years where WWE would keep their unused talent in a kennel. And William Regal was in charge of them. And then randomly they would, like, yeah, first of all, if they ventured out of the kennel, then Vince would find them and get rid of them right away. So, like, JTG was there for years, like, collecting a paycheck and doing nothing. And I'm sure that there's other guys who are there now. I'm just having a hard time thinking of who it could be. But, yeah. If Vince went down there, man, he would freak. It would be like Parasite.
You could have done that back in the day with WCW, too. They didn't know who they had.
Yeah.
No.
You know,
literally.
You could have Mikey Whipwreck.
Yeah.
You could have
I forgot they had Mikey.
Oh, crap. Leaf and Lanny.
My God, when's the last time we got a Mikey Whipwreck reference on this show? It's got to have been years.
Probably since he was on.
God.
Big Mikey Whipwreck.
Hello, Mikey.
I love Mikey. He's great.
I do, too. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Hello, Mikey. Hope you're doing good.
Yeah, we should get him on. I'm going to reach out to him at some point, maybe this week. Yeah, wasn't there a story with someone with WWE where they wanted to hire him, and then they found out that they actually had him under contract already? I feel like I heard that.
I remember hearing that story. I can't remember who it was. We should hire that guy.
Yeah.
All right.
He's already here. We'll then fire him.
Even better.
Yeah.
Fire him and bring him back.
Yeah. Good stuff. What do you guys think about doing some quick hits, and we'll get out of here?
Oh,
let's do them.
Let's do them. All right. Let's see here. So, all right, there's nothing out there.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
I go to this app for them.
And this week it happens to be that everything that's like the top 20 things on there are things that we've talked about tonight. Charlotte Flair has completed 1,000 days as a champion. Forget like 1,000 consecutive, 1,000 days total as a champion. There's a lot of talk that she's going to be the one to break Ric Flair's record.
I hope that in celebration of this, she gets a 1,000 days chip like they give to Alcoholics Anonymous attendees.
She needs it. Do you guys think there's any chance that she would ever go to AEW with her future husband?
No.
No, really?
I think so.
Really?
I think if she feels that she's being mistreated,
right,
that she would go, because I think, you know, as we talked earlier about their roster being so full, they would take her in a minute.
I think so, too.
Do we necessarily know if Rick's there? I don't, you know, he hasn't shown up yet. He showed up at the NWA.
Yeah. I mean, I heard he was going there, but again, I don't know. I'm probably the wrong person to ask, because I didn't believe that Daniel Bryan was really going there until he showed up. I just kind of assumed that it was all just stuff that people were putting out there. So I don't know. But in any event, I could see her at some point getting frustrated and leaving. You know, if it's at the end of a contract or something.
I kind of wanted, since it's quick hits, I kind of wanted to just give my one-liner and leave it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess, but since we ended up going down this road, I suppose I could see her going there if her dad goes there first. But otherwise, I don't know anything about her, so I'm purely playing the odds here. I would say that she is more likely to just go home.
Okay. Okay. I think she'll go somewhere, because I think that she's on top of the world right now. I don't know. That's just what I think. But how about this one? You know, we're talking about Ric Flair. So Ric Flair He's talking about the AEW and possibly having a match. And he starts right away talking about the Four Horsemen, which I totally forgot that Arn and Tully are already there.
Somebody get J.J. Dillon on the phone.
J.J.'s been there, too.
Yeah. Who would be left? Barry Windham. I would imagine they could get Barry Windham for an appearance. Why not?
Well, if Bray Wyatt's coming in, you know, his Uncle Barry could come in, too.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
But here's what I found interesting, and this just goes to the respect. I think not everyone recognizes this. But asked outright, Flair asked if he would have a match in AEW. His answer was, absolutely. He'd have to ask for Vince's blessing first.
So here's the ultimate tip for this. What that answer means is that Rick never actually saw any of those three atrocious matches he had against Hulk Hogan in Australia. And...
or the impact
so
stuff.
Someone needs to show him those.
Yeah.
And that way he can just say, oh, right. Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. There's really not that much news out there. So, yeah. Ray, did you have anything you wanted to plug on the way out tonight?
Definitely listen to Stroh's show because I will either... and this would be the less exciting of the two options. I wanted to be calling in to talk about the promo, or probably far more interestingly, Stroh will have a Crusher promo in addition to all of the other great promos I am sure that both he and his callers will come up with.
Cool. Very cool. Jim, anything? I know, you said you got ECWA coming up, but... Thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for having me again. Something I didn't bring up last time or this time, and excuse me for kind of being distracted here while I'm putting in a passcode I can't remember.
Well, that's me every time I talk. I'm doing eight things at once.
I've come up with a line of parody referee T-shirts, wrestling T-shirts.
Nice.
And they
okay.
all... come off of an existing T-shirt. So, like, I have, instead of the Bullet Club, we have the Referee Club.
Okay.
So it's the Referee Club with the Bullet Club logo, and on the bottom it says 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Better than the Muffin Club. Sorry.
There you go.
But I like the Muffin Club.
You know,
okay. Yeah.
I like the Muffin Club, too.
Yeah.
Instead of Austin 316, I have referee 123. I have two Refomania T-shirts. Refomania
okay.
running wild. One in black and white because of referees, and one in the traditional Hogan red and gold. And then the one that seems to be popular, the most popular, is the EC Ref and W.
I like that. EC Ref and W.
So if you go to my store. And
yeah.
I'm trying to bring it up. So it's through TeePublic. So it's teepublic.com/user/extreme-referee. It's a weird email or it's a weird address for the thing, but you can go to TeePublic and try to find them.
It okay.
takes you a while. For some reason, I can't. But yeah, it's just a bunch of parody shirts. I thought, let me give it a try and get some ha-ha and, you know, have some fun with it. And,
it's a great idea.
Sell a couple shirts here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, when I do some appearances, I do have the EC Ref and W shirts. And
okay.
I've got some stickers. So, but otherwise, check them out at TeePublic. I think if I get enough people following me, I can move it over to Wrestling Tees. I think you have
okay.
to have so many people follow you.
Well, Jim,
and I'm not there yet.
Jim, I would be totally willing, if you want to put them on the VOC Nation, I would give you 100% of whatever you pull in. I mean, we had it, Pro Wrestling Tees. I don't know how successful it is, but we met the minimum, so whatever that was.
I'm working on it. I'm getting
okay.
I'm getting
all right.
there.
All right, cool. Stroh, and another fun week. So tell us a little bit about your upcoming days. That really sounded weird. That was a weird way to put it. I'm sorry. Oh.
Thursday night, WCW Retro on VOCNation.com at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be discussing, mentioned earlier in the podcast, some of our favorite wrestling promos of the year. So if you got a favorite wrestling promo you'd like to share, please call in. And it's Friday night on the Crow Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Joe the Maestro. It'll be a double feature. First feature will be Terror to Midnight Sun, and the second feature will be A Night of Magic. And also next Saturday, 18th, I'm going to be doing commentary for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment at the Craven County
SWE
Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, in New Bern, North Carolina. And more information on the event, go to shockwavewrestling.com.
Okay, very cool. So, first of all, thank you to everybody for tuning in this week. I know it was a mess. I felt like I was so distracted, but hopefully you guys all got some enjoyment out of it, and I certainly love getting together each and every week with all of you guys. Thank you to the best cast and crew that I could ever ask for, Kathy, Stroh, Derek, Ray, Matt, Jim. Thank you once again, and you're welcome on anytime, my friend. I have a feeling that... We'll be doing this again real soon, I would hope. So, beyond that, yeah. No, everybody be good to each other. Next week, ECWA on the 18th. That's the 54th anniversary show. I'll try and line up an ECWA guest for next week if we can. And, yeah, that's about it. Everybody be good to each other. Take care. Love you all very much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.